Bibles tonight and go with me to Matthew chapter number 5, please. Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to look at verse number 43 down through verse number 48 tonight. Going to look at another question that the Lord would ask in verse number 46 is the question that he asked. And I've just entitled my message tonight, Doing Hard Task. Anybody like to do hard tasks? But that's what I want to pull out from this text tonight. Before I get started, let me just say this. I don't say it often enough, but thank you for coming on Sunday night. I mean, you got so many things that you could do. You got so many other churches that you could attend. There's so many other things that you could do with your time, but you've chosen to come to church tonight. And I know it's not as important as me being grateful, because the Lord sees you and the Lord will bless you. But I want you to know, I don't ever take it for granted when you walk through the doors. And I want you to know that I personally appreciate you coming and being in our services. And I just hope and I pray every time I preach that you get something. Either get mad, get happy, get glad, get something. Feel something when I preach. Amen. All right. Verse number 43. He says, you have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Can you understand my title tonight, Doing Hard Things, after reading that? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, and here's the question, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans or a tax collector do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, complete, mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Desmond Doss from Lynchburg, Virginia, was 24 years old when he experienced his first day of boot camp in the Army during World War II. It was quite a day for him. Moments after arriving at his barracks, he did what he normally does at the end of a long day. With his Bible in his hand, he got on his knees beside his bed and he began to pray. The other recruits, upon seeing him on his knees, began to mock and shout obscenities at him. Several laughed as they threw their heavy boots across the room at him. The young men were angry with Desmond Doss, because he refused to carry a gun, and because he told his superiors that because of his religious beliefs, he would not take a human life, even if it meant to save his own life. The young soldiers thought Desmond Doss was a coward. They wanted him out of their barracks. Day after day, the insults and mockings continued, despite several of the older soldiers telling the younger ones to leave Doss alone. Desmond did not fight back. He did not respond. Doss finally was shipped to a camp for conscientious objectors. But this upset him, and he told his superiors that he should not be there because he considered himself a conscientious cooperator. Desmond convinced the military to make him a medic so that he could serve his country without betraying his religious convictions. Desmond Doss soon discovered the great challenges and heartbreaks which medics face on the battlefield. The date is May the 5th, 1945. The place is Okinawa, Japan. The scene is a 400-foot steep cliff known as Hacksaw Ridge. Anybody seen that movie, Hacksaw Ridge? A battle rage which was so intense that the odds of survival were 1 in 10. Army medic Desmond Doss knew that his short life could end at any moment in that violent place. Doss and the men with him were being overwhelmed by enemy fire, and they were trapped at the cliff's edge of Hacksaw Ridge. Many of the young soldiers were wounded. They were terrified, but all were determined to survive. Keeping a cool head amidst this awful situation was medic Desmond Doss. Amidst the storm of battle, he got an idea. He rigged a rope to the cliff attached a stretcher to it, and with soldiers dying all around him and under constant enemy fire for several hours, he carefully lowered soldiers to safety down the steep cliff. During these trying hours, as Doss treated the wounded and one by one lowered men down the cliff, he prayed over and over to the Lord, "Lord, help me save one more. Lord, help me get one more. Just one more, Lord. Help me save one more." And all during that battle, 75 men lived to see another day due to the courage and the determination of Desmond Doss and God's care and protection. On the last man to go down the rope was a man with tears in his eyes. Not due to his wounds, but because of the man risking his life to lower him to safety. This wounded man had once thrown his boots at him and cursed Desmond Doss. In fact, several of the young men Doss saved that day had once mocked and turned their backs on him. It's a good thing Doss was not bitter towards them, isn't it? As this tearful man on the stretcher was lowered down the cliff on the rope anchored by Private Doss, all he could see in his mind was the image of Doss humbly on his knees in the barracks praying to his God. When Jesus called his disciples to follow him, he didn't call them to a life of ease and comfort. Matter of fact, when you read the New Testament, and if you'll be honest when you read the New Testament, you'll find when Jesus called his disciples, he called them to just the opposite of a life of ease and comfort. In Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 24 through verse number 25, here is what the Bible says. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." That doesn't seem like Jesus is calling his disciples to a life of ease and comfort. Matter of fact, it seems like when I read that verse that Jesus is asking his disciples to do something that is going to be hard. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16, Jesus once again said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." That doesn't seem like that he's calling them to a life of ease and comfort. Matter of fact, it seems to me like that he's calling them to a life that's going to be hard. There's going to be hard tasks associating with serving the Lord. In John chapter 16 and verse number 33, Jesus would say this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Now notice this, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." He doesn't say that you might. He doesn't say that there is a chance. He doesn't say, hey, you can anticipate. No, Jesus speaking to his disciples is saying, hey, when you get out in this world and you start serving me, you can count on it. You are going to have some tribulations in your life. That doesn't seem like a life of ease and comfort. That seems like that there's a hard task for them. When you read Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22, here is what the Bible says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, here's what the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You take all of those verses, and it doesn't seem to me like that Jesus is calling them to a life on a pillow or a life of ease. He's saying, hey, if you're going to follow me, there's going to be some hard things that you're going to have to do. There's going to be some hard things that you are going to have to endure. When you read Hebrews chapter number 11, it is the story of all some of the great men and women of the Bible, and they're talking about all the things that they've done. But in the last part of that, he talks about all the things that they endured and all the things that they would have to go through. And here is what it says. If you want to turn there, Hebrews 11 and verse number 32. The Bible says this, "And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fighting, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And now notice this. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. That's tough, isn't it? Those great men and women didn't have a life of ease. They had some hard tasks. One of the things that has changed in my lifetime is the number of Christians that are willing to do the hard tasks that God has called them to do. Today, we want no life of commitment, no sacrifice, no accountability, and no responsibility. This week, I was listening to a podcast about preaching, and it was made a couple of years ago. I've given you the statistics a few times, but it reminded me, because I was listening to it about the same time I was studying for this message. And this man was talking about what a faithful church member in America today is. Now, when I was growing up in the church, a faithful church member was somebody who came Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, revivals, missions conference, whatever it was. You had to attend all of those if you were going to consider yourself a faithful church member. But do you know what the standard is today in churches in America? If you show up at the property once a month, you are now considered a faithful church member. That's mind-boggling to me. Maybe it's because of the way that I was raised. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. But what if you showed up to work one every 4 days? 1 week out of the month, what if you showed up for that? Would your boss say, here is my faithful employee? No. But yet Americans say today, if I show up at church once a month, 1 week in a month, they call it weekend services. If I show up 1 week in a month, I am a faithful. Americans, we like it easy, don't we? I'm staying up here because I don't want to get to chasing rabbits. Modern technology has turned us into wimps, haven't they? I'm going to say that again because it's true. Modern technology has turned us into wimps. I see nobody agrees with me. Well, I'm going to go and make my point. Do you remember when you had to get up and change the TV channel? Anybody was raised with rabbit ears? Well, I was one of those. We didn't have a TV until I was about 13 or 14 years old. And I'm telling you what, I was the remote control. Hey, David, get up here and change that channel. Hey, David, we're not getting good reception. Get over here and wiggle those rabbit ears a little bit. I sure do like my life of ease now. I sit in my chair. I've got remote controls for my Bose sound system. I've got remote controls for the light and for the fan. I've got remote controls for my little electric fireplace over there. I've got remote controls for my TV. I'm finding me a remote control for CJ. Amen. I tell you what, I just sit back and I just scroll the TV. Anybody scroll the TV like I do? I turn it on the menu and I just go through there. I hardly ever watch anything. I just want to see what's on TV. Can you imagine what it would be if we'd have to go back and get out of our chairs and walk across the living room and turn the channel? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? I have mowed a jillion yards with a 20-inch lawnmower, with a 3.5 Briggs Stratton lawnmower engine on it. Now, if you know anything about those little 3.5 lawnmower engines, they're not very powerful. Matter of fact, I would wear one out every summer. Every year I'd have to buy me a new one because I would wear it out. And I'm telling you, there was no self-propelled. Matter of fact, I didn't want to self-propel because you think I've got energy then. Now, man, I had lots of energy because I mowed grass on my lunch hour and I mowed grass after work. I had to get it done. And so it was boom, 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 boom. Self-propelled would slow me down. But boy, now we've got those zero-turn mowers. We got two around here. Boy, I sure do like them. You crawl up on that thing, you don't even have to do this. You turn that key on, you know, and if that thing goes, you go to the store and buy a new battery like I did this week. And you get on that thing, it's not even work anymore. It's just fun. It's like riding an amusement park ride. But boy, we don't want a lawnmower with no self-propelled. We don't want one of them little engines. We want the ease life, don't we? CJ, don't even have to push the vacuum cleaner anymore. I don't know what day it was she used to vacuum, but she'd have that big old vacuum. She had when we got married, she had a Red Dirt or something like that. She was always complaining, that thing is heavy, you know? And I said, baby, that's what you ought to do. You push it. Don't worry about how heavy it is. You're building up your muscles. Now she's got one of those robot vacuum cleaners. She calls it Wanda. We even name it. It's Wanda. I come home, and she's got all the doors closed and everything built up. And I said, what's the deal? She says, well, I don't want Wanda to go into those rooms. She doesn't have to do this anymore. You know what she does? She takes that little remote control, and she goes over there and pushes it. And little Wanda, she just goes about the house vacuuming up everything. Georgina, she don't even have to mop her floors because she's got one that mops her floors. Don't we like life of ease? Hey, ladies, don't you like that? We like a life of ease, don't we? It's one of the things about when you get around old men. I've always tried to do that, not tried, but I've just always done things the hard way. And you get around these old men, they say, well, I found an easy way to do it. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just the way that we've gone. Remember when you had to cut something with a handsaw? Now you go. I've even got me a little old chainsaw that is about this big. You know, it's the handiest thing that I've ever bought. Used to have to cut little rims with them loppers. You know, you get up there and you go. Now I just walk up to it and I push the button and it goes, chopped off. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We like the easy life. We like to do things the easy way. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not getting on to you, but I want you to understand, you've got to be honest with me tonight if you're going to get anything out of the message. We just enjoy doing things the easy way. And the older we get, the easier we like it. Amen. But you know what? Jesus has called us to do some hard things. This text is one of those things. Can I tell you, some of you may read this text and think, oh, this is easy. But I'm telling you, for David Jenkins, this is not an easy text for me. It's hard for me to do what he's asking me to do in the text. I cannot do it in my power. I cannot do it in my strength. The only way that I can do it is give in to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and he has to help. What is he asking us to do? Notice the text in verse number 43. He says, you've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. It's not what the Bible says. They took a little verse and they misunderstood that verse. They didn't want to do the hard part of that verse. And so they changed it up a little bit. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wanted to make it a little bit easier. And they said, hey, here's what you've heard. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's easy, isn't it? It's easy to love people that love you. It's easy to love people that agree with you. It's easy to love people that want to encourage you and want to help you and want to be your friend and that thinks like you and has the same philosophy. And it's just easy to be around people like that. But boy, It sure is easy to hate those that hurt you, haven't, isn't it? Man, those that have offended you, those that have wronged you, those that have hurt you, it's easy to hate them. That's what the natural man wants to do. But Jesus says, this is what I say unto you. This is what I want you to do. This is what you ought to do. Verse number 44. But I say, Jesus is saying, you know what? I say unto you, love your enemies. Ho, 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 ho. I didn't read that right, did I? You're telling me that as a Christian, I have to agape. That word for love there is agape. Means I it's not a feeling, it is an action. That means I have to do nice things. I've got to love my enemies. If that's not enough, he goes on, bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's hard. I hope it's easy for you. But I'm telling you, that's hard for me. Because the biggest part of my life, I had this motto. You mess with me, I may not get you today. I may not get you tomorrow. But I'm going to get you. That sounds good, doesn't it? The problem is, it's not biblical. Because Jesus says this, I've got something that's hard. I've got something that's difficult that I want you to do. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless those that curse you. I want you to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Notice what he says in the next verse. That it may be that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain upon the just and upon the unjust. You see, God is kind, he's merciful, and he's just. You see, for him, it's easy for him to love those who are his enemies. I want you to hold your finger there because we'll come back, but I want you to go with me to Romans chapter number 5, please. Romans chapter number 5. You know verse number 8. Matter of fact, most of you could stand up and quote verse number 8, but I want you to notice what it says. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now get this, verse number 10. For if when we were, what's that word? Who is he talking about? He's talking about us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you think it was an easy task for Jesus to leave the glories of heaven and come to this earth and live as a man? Do you think it was easy when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, when he was agonizing over what lay ahead of him, and the Bible says that he sweat as though it were great drops of blood? Do you think it was easy when they took him and they strapped him to that hitching post, or that post, and that soldier took that cat of nine tails and they began to slap the back of Jesus and rip all of the flesh off of his back? Do you think that was easy? Do you think it was easy when they carried him to Golgotha and they laid him on that cross and soldiers got over and they drove those nails into his hands and his feet and they lifted that cross up and they dropped it into the ground, and the Bible says it was a jolt and it almost took every joint out of joint in his body. Was that easy? Jesus created them. He said, you know what? I could call 10 legions of angels to come and take me away. That would have been the easy way. But Jesus knew if he took the easy way, you could not be saved. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. He says, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless those that curse you. I want you to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, so the world knows that you belong to me. It's a hard task. It's a hard task when you've given your life to help somebody and they turn on you and cuss you and spew vile at you. It's a hard task when you've tried to help somebody and do everything that you can to help them and they turn on you. The easy thing to do is to get back and to even the score. Jesus says, hey, don't do that. Love those. Love your enemies. Don't you agree that that's a hard task tonight? But it's something that Jesus asks us to do. Notice you go on and read the rest of this text right now. And here's the question. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do ye not even the publicans do so? Jesus says, you know what? If you do what everybody else does, if you just do the bare minimum, what reward do you deserve? The publicans, the worst of the worst of that society, everybody hated the publicans because they were tax collectors. He said, you know what? Even tax collectors will love those that love them. But as children of the Lord, we are to rise above that and do something that is hard. He goes on and he talks about being perfect and being complete. If you read Luke's account in Luke chapter number 6, the Bible says that the Lord is kind and the Lord is merciful. Can I tell you that's hard sometimes? But you know what? He's called us to some hard things. He's not just saved us so our life would be ease and on pillows of air. He's called us and then he's asked us to do some hard things. I believe it was 1989. That in Berlin, Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. They tore down that wall, and the leader of the Communist Party in East Germany was a guy by the name of Erich Honecker. And when they tore down that wall, the story goes that him and Gorbachev really got at odds, and they set out to destroy this Erich Honecker. They took all of his salary away. They took all of his investments away. They took all of his money away. He was living in a government home. They kicked him out of that government home, and he and his wife, Maddie, was destitute without nothing. But there was a preacher by the name of Homer. Homer didn't like Erich Honecker, because Erich Honecker had tried to shut his church down and come against him. But he said, you know what? I'm going to be a blessing to him. He went to him and he brought Erich Honecker and his wife into his own home. And they lived with him for about a period of 9 months. I don't know if I could have done that or not. But he's doing the hard things. Loving your enemies. blessing those that curse you, doing good to those that hate you, and praying for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. You know what? I have a choice. I can go the easy route, or I can choose to go the hard route. If I have that choice, don't you have that choice? We all get to choose. How about we do some hard things? Lord, we love you tonight. How we need the Holy Spirit of God to fill us tonight. How we need the Holy Spirit of God to help us to fight against our nature sometimes. And God, tonight, that there may be some that are here tonight and this message hits home because maybe they're thinking about a hurt that they had maybe a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago. And every day they get up, they think, hey, how can I even that score? But God, I pray that you'd help them to do the hard things tonight. There's struggles in my life. There's people that have hurt me in my life, and there's people that has opposed me in my life. And God, I pray that you can help me to do the hard stuff and not take the easy road. God, I pray that you'd be with our invitation tonight. God, I pray that there'd be those that would come and do business with you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Martha and Linda going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.